Welcome and send our blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. I hope and pray that I sound clear, dear ones. Please let me know. Send our blessing, everyone, on this beautiful sunny Sabbath, August 3rd, 2019. This is our part two review for chapter 62, entitled The Feast at Simon's House, part two. This is lesson 283. Our opening hymn is entitled, I'd Rather Have Jesus from a Street. I'd rather have Jesus than silver gold. I'd rather have Jesus than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses of land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain. Oh, he has his sinner's dress way. I'd rather have Jesus than this cross. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name, than to be the king of a vast domain. Oh, he had in sin's dress white. Anything this world affords to me, he's fairer than lilies of a rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from above the comb. It's all that my hungry spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him be, than to be the king of a vast domain. Oh, we have in sin's dress white. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this today. Amen. Amen. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open with prayer, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Okay. We are.
Ready? Let's have a blessing.
Let's have a
okay, ready? Go ahead, say a prayer.
Thank you, God. Welcome to this morning. It was very great. And Jesus' name. Jesus' name. It's name prayer. Amen.
Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for giving us another blessed Sabbath, dear Father. I pray, dear, that you be with each and every one of us that are here. Be with those that are in travel. Be with those that are listening over the phone. Be with those that are listening within the households, dear Father. Thank you for spared mercies and for blessings and assurance throughout this week. We couldn't have done anything without you. We pray that you send your Holy Spirit to be with us this blessed day so that we can receive wondrous things out of your word. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you so much, dear sisters. Our opening verse to our review as a memory verse song is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18, from the King James Version margin. Come now, and let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as gold. Come now, let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. What have I learned and ways I have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear your question, comment, your song, or anything you would like to share with your dear and your family, let's take a few minutes to review what we have read last Sabbath from our part one of our lesson entitled The Feast of Simon House, part two, in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family, Tiffany, can you hear me? Testing, testing, can you hear me? If any one of the dear family would like to take the following paragraph, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Desire of Ages, page 558. While this plotting was going on at Jerusalem, Jesus and his friends were invited to Simon's feast. At the table, the Savior sat with Simon, whom he had cured of a loathsome disease, on one side, and Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead, on the other. Martha served at the table, but Mary was earnestly listening to every word from the lips of Jesus. In his mercy, Jesus had pardoned her sins. Continuing, he had called forth her beloved brother from the grave, and Mary's heart was filled with gratitude. She had heard Jesus speak of his approaching death, and in deeper love and sorrow, she had longed to show him honor at great personal sacrifice. She had purchased this an alabaster box of ointment and a spikenard very costly with which to anoint his body.
Continuing. But now many were declaring that he was about to be crowned king. Her grief first turned to joy, and she was eager to be first in honoring her Lord. Breaking her box of ointment, she poured its contents upon the head and feet of Jesus. Then, as she knelt weeping, moistening them with her tears, she wiped his feet with her long flowing hair. Desire of Ages, page 558, paragraph 4.
If she had sought to avoid observation, and her movements might have passed unnoticed, but the ointment filled the room with its fragrance and published her act to all present. Judas looked upon this act with brief displeasure. Instead of waiting to hear what Christ would say of the matter, he began to whisper his complaints to those near him, throwing reproach upon Christ for suffering such waste. Craftily he made suggestions that would be likely to cause disaffection. Desire of Ages, page 559, paragraph 1.
Desire of Ages, page 559. Judas was treasurer for the disciples, and from their little store he had secretly grown for his own use, thus narrowing down the resources to a meager pittance. He was eager to put into the bag all that he could obtain. The treasure in the bag was often drawn upon to relieve the poor. And when something that Judas did not think essential was bought, He would say, "Why is this waste? Why was not the cost of this put into the bag that I carry for the poor?" Now the act of Mary was in such marked contrast to his selfishness that he was put to shame, and according to his custom, he sought to assign a worthy motive for his objection to her gift. Turning to the disciples, he asked, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Judas had no heart for the poor. Had Mary's ointment been sold, and the proceeds fallen into his possession, the poor would have received no benefit. Desire of Ages, 559, paragraph 2. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, dear ones. Kind of having a little bit of problem with the speaker. I hope, can you hear me, dear ones? We are in Desire of Ages, 559. If any one of the dear family would like to take the next paragraph, may you unmute your mic.
Judas had a high opinion on his own executive ability. As the financier, he brought himself greatly superior to his fellow disciples, and he had led them to regard him in the same light. He had gained their confidence and had a strong influence over them. His professed sympathy of the poor deceived him, and his heartful insinuation caused them to look distrustfully upon Mary, the ocean. The man passed around the table. To what purpose is this place? For this is a woman made of blood. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. This is the interest of 569,003. Amen.
Desire of Ages, page 560. Mary heard the words of criticism. Her heart trembled within her. She feared that her sister would reproach her for extravagance. The master, too, might think her improvident. Without apology or excuse, she was about to shrink away when the voice of her Lord was heard. "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her?" He saw that she was embarrassed and distressed. Next slide. He knew that in this act of service, she had expressed her gratitude for the forgiveness of her sins, and he brought relief to her mind. Lifting his voice above the murmur of criticism, he said, "She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always, and whatsoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying." Desire of Ages, page 560, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15 from the King James Version. "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Well, dear ones, we're going to open the room. If any one of the little ones, mommies, daddies, or even our guests have any question, what have I learned and ways I have grown? May you unmute your mic, dear ones.
I had a question. If I remember correctly, last week I had placed it in the room about something that stood out to me was how he was... that Judas had very much the spirit of the arch deceiver, because he had people to sympathize with him and believe that he was doing right when he was being deceiving. And another thing that I was asking about last week was, he made such a big fuss about the cost of the ointment that Mary had bought for her Lord with a sincere heart. But he sold Jesus for less than what the box was even cost. I think I had asked how much was Elder Rob, I think if you're there, if you can help with that, how much it was that the I think it was 30, he sold him for 30 pieces of silver, but it was even not even 100 pence that it was worth in comparison. So that was something that I was thinking about that. But overall, I have another general question. It doesn't really coincide with the study today, and I don't want to derail, but it's something that I have been thinking about, and especially every Sabbath. So I have a 2-year-old, and she's almost going on 3, and then I have a 15-month-old. And my question is, how do we keep them on task? So that they don't get, as you can hear in the background, they're all over the place. I get them to sit for at least 5-10 minutes at most to listen to the lesson. But how should I be guiding, you know, in the sense that the scripture said that we should train up our child in the way that they should go and they're older, or older will not depart from it. How should we be conducting Sabbath for them at this particular age? That they, you know, they don't sit for very long. And I'm sorry once again for derailing and asking a question, but something that's been in my heart.
That is a very good question, dear Sister Cece. But as I have walked through this, how you say, message and being in so many different homes, but I'm gonna touch upon it based on how we can be able to help the children, because they do have naturally a short attention span. But consistency is something that we must have with children. If you have a whole week, and in the whole week the way how they entertain themselves and they do certain things, it's very hard to come towards one day and try and incorporate what could be divided during the week. In the week, try to be able to have at least 30 minutes to 45 minutes in singing songs, have a little story time. Let them be able to have a sense of consistency. And then when it comes into the Sabbath, it's going to be a little bit more, it's going to be a little bit better, because they already are used to having that quiet time. You have to divide the whole day in activity where it still be on the Sabbath, like nature, anything that you have learned, and if they have a nature analogy that you can be able to show, you know, the rocks or flowers or plants or anything to engage their attention. And then later, you're going to have that little moment that while they have something to relate, children are very relatable. They have to see in order for them to be able to understand. Sometimes you have to take the older child, because after when you have the older child established, the older child becomes like a little pattern for the younger one, because they're always looking to see what the older one is doing. Notice if the older one is doing a lot of different things, they start after, right after. Like, so you have to try to incorporate a time frame during the week of quiet moment for either Bible reading, scripture song, or different type of activity to kind of calm them down. And then as you have it to be a normal thing, not abnormal. Because sometimes it's like they do go to daycare, and in daycare they have a different system. But if you start from home and then incorporate it in their daily, then when Sabbath comes in, it becomes something that is natural. What I did with my son is that I have morning time and also I have evening time worship. So in the middle of the day, sometimes we will have certain discussion. It's something that he read and he wanted to share with me. When he was very small, I always look for things that can be able to keep him entertained, but it was relating to Sabbath, Sabbath stories, or we can be able to make like memory verses and things like that. And when you keep being repetitive with children, they pick up, but especially pray, because the Holy Spirit truly knows their heart and he knows us as well, and he helps along the way. I just wanted to share that.
I have a question too. When Judas started griping about how costly the spikenard oil is, and he said, asked why it wasn't sold and given to the poor, was he actually trying to refer to himself?
In reality, Judah was really thinking about himself all the time. Because if he was really looking towards what Mary was really doing and knowing exactly where Mary had actually came from, no one can do any deed of love to God unless God already is working in their heart. Judah was a thief, and he cannot really tell the brethren or even before Jesus what was his real intention. So he had a way to be able to disguise it by letting everyone know, and especially the disciple, that he had a concern about the poor, when in reality he didn't. And at the same time, if the disciple would have had the love of Christ in their heart, they can be able to discern that if you are giving homage to someone that you love, and you have been in debt because of the life that you are living, you will try to do the best that you can with what you know how. If they would have seen it in the manner of salvation, they would have actually see the love that was poured out upon Mary. But Judah was really showing what was really his agenda. But being that he brought it in the manner of saying that he was concerned about the poor, it was hidden. He was deceptive. So he was looking for his own purpose.
Brother Bob, do you have any explanation regarding the years, the 300 pence that the perfume must have cost, and the question asked about the value of the 30 pieces of silver? What's the comparison there? You know?
Yeah, I looked it up last week, and the 30 pieces of silver did not quite value up to 100 pence. So 300 pence would be more than three times the amount that Judas betrayed Christ for. And 30 pieces of silver was about the value of a slave. So, I mean, Judas was more concerned about the money he was getting than the value of betraying Christ for so small an amount. But 30 pieces of silver was less than 100 pence. It was quite amazing.
If there's any songs, scripture song, hymn that you would like to share with their family, dear ones, this is the moment that you can begin to do so.
I have a new song that I like to sing. I learned it since last week. It was called By a Cool, Silent, Shady Rill. By cool Siloam's shady wheel, how fair the lily grows, how sweet the breath beneath the hill, a Sharon's dewy rose. Lo, such the child whose early feet the paths of peace have trod, whose secret heart with influence sweet is upward drawn to God. By cool Siloam's shady rill, the lily must decay. The rose that blooms beneath the hill must shortly fade away. And soon, too soon, the wintry hour of man's mature age will shake the soul with sorrow's power and stormy passion's rage. O thou whose infant feet were found within thy father's shrine, whose years with changeless virtue crowned were all alike divine. Dependent on thy bounteous breath, we seek thy grace alone. In childhood, manhood, age, and death, to keep us still thine own.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want to make a correction. I'm so glad my sister is next to me. She says that when I was explaining, the ointment was supposed to be placed on Jesus, not on Mary. No, but the love that she displayed was the poor love towards Jesus. Yeah, that was the correction. That the love that Mary was showing to Jesus was poured out on her gift. Mm-hmm. And at the time, Judah was really pouring out to himself, which is, how can he allow so many to let him believe that he was being honest concerning what was he adding towards something that, praise God, that Jesus is a savior and he knows the heart. He can read what was in the heart of Mary and also Judas, but even in his mercy, he did not disclose Judas' intention. But he was hoping that by being so near to him, he would be able to be transformed. If there's any thoughts or any poem that you would like to share, dear ones, you can unmute your mic. Meanwhile, everyone is trying to gather their thoughts. I did find another poem. It's entitled Pilgrim's Horn. It's taken also from Adventist Review and Sabbath Herald, volume 10, 1857, June 11. It's from page 41, paragraph 2, to the same page, paragraph 7. If there's anyone that would like to share the poem or participate in reading, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Blessings, everyone. Pilgrims on. The day is dawning. Strike your tents in homeward haste. Sleep not while the bless of morning calls you on a desert waste. Though the way be dark and dreary, life's sharp anguish must be borne. Courage then, ye faint and weary, linger not to weep and mourn.
Pilgrims on, the storm is beating, beating wildly on your way. Tarry not, the time is fleeting. Shall the storms your footsteps stay? Hasten on through joy and sorrow. Let whatever may betide. Wait not for the calm tomorrow. Faithfully at thy work abide.
Pilgrim song, though darkness covers all earth's pathway to the tomb, angels o'er thy pathway hover, mid the deep surrounding gloom. Light effulgent gleams above you from the throne of glory, where bright seraphim, ones who love you, witness all your grief and care.
Pilgrims on, what though in dangers, life's eventful course pursue. Labor on, ye friendless strangers, grace will guide you safely through. What if trials must befall you? What if fierce temptations rise? Shall earth's bitter strife appall you while contending for the prize?
Pilgrims on, the day is ending, life's probation day of woe. Twilight shades and now are blending with the sunbeam's finest glow. Soon the night of death impending shall your toilsome journey end. Hope, like starlight smiles descending, cheer while o'er the grave you bend.
Pilgrims on, there's rest in heaven. Rest from every anxious care. Rest in Jesus' smiles forgiven, peaceful and eternal there. Oh, twere sweet to toil in sadness. Oh, twere well the cross to bear. If at last in joy and gladness, we may rest forever there.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, if there's any testimony, any stories that you would like to share that you have went through this week or any other week, you may begin to do so, dear ones, by unmuting your mic.
Testimonies that Grace and I arrived to our destination speedily and safely by God's grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Dear ones, this is the ending of the first section of a children's Sabbath school lesson, and this is story time, and we're going to allow our dear brother Dick to also ask any question of the story time section.
Oh my. Good morning, boys and girls. I don't know that I have questions, but if any of you have questions about the story we're reading today, put them in the chat room and we'll see if we can't locate them afterwards. Walking in the light brings courage. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:8. Walk in the light. To walk in the light means to resolve or decide to exercise thought, to exert willpower, that means to make up your mind to do something, in an earnest endeavor or effort to represent Christ in sweetness of character. It means to put away all gloom. Don't be discouraged. You are not to rest satisfied simply by saying, I am a child of God. Are you beholding or looking and thinking about Jesus? Or by beholding, becoming changed into his likeness? You become like what you look at. If you watch the foolishness on television, you'll be just like the actors. Foolish. To walk in the light means to means advancement. That means you're moving forward. And progress in spiritual attainments or growth. Paul declared, not as though I had already attained or had a character that God accepts, either were already perfect, but forgetting those things which are behind, we're not to just think about all the bad things we've done. We're to constantly behold the pattern that's looking at Jesus. I reached forth unto the things which are before. What's before you? Eternal life. To walk in the light means to walk uprightly or be a Christian. To walk in the way of the Lord, to walk by faith, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the truth, to walk in love, to walk in the newness of life. It is perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That means becoming like Jesus. And how do you know what he's like? I would suggest you read the Gospel of John. What a terrible thing it is to darken the pathway of others by bringing shadow and gloom upon others. Did you know that if you act discouraged, you will also make other people sad, especially Jesus? Let each one take heed to himself. That means make sure you obey God's will. Charge not upon others your defections of character. That's a strange word. That means don't blame others for your problems. Talk light. Talk in the light. What is light? It's God's truth. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Gather to your souls the courage that gather to yourselves the courage that can come only from the light of the world. That's Jesus. When the light of heaven shines upon the human agent, that's each person, his countenance or his face will express the joy of the Lord within. In the absence of Christ from the soul, that makes people sad and of a doubtful or unbelieving mind. It is the want of Christ or lack of Christ in the heart that makes the countenance or our faces sad. And the life is a pilgrimage of sighs. A pilgrimage is like a trip. And a sigh, oh my, aren't we there yet? That's a sigh. Rejoicing is the very keynote or the main subject or thought of the Word of God for all who receive him. Why? Because they have the light of life. Light brings gladness and joy, and that joy is expressed in the life and the character. Sons and Daughters of God, page 200. Now that Ephesians 5:8 in a different version says, once you lived in the dark, but now the Lord has filled you with light. Live as children who have light. And if you have light, you'll be wanting to share it with others. Now I'll put that away, and are there any questions over here? Don't see any. It's normal. When I was a little child, I had no questions either, except especially not in Sabbath school. Someone is sorry, and that's worth something.
I have a question, and sometimes I wrestle with it because it's not as clear-cut as people make it seem. But in terms of, like, when you're having a down day, a bad day, and you don't mean to cast doubt on anyone in particular, but you within yourself is just feeling down, and you can't seem to just overcome it or shake the situation as such. How would you give counsel to an individual, and not merely just by saying just to have faith, because sometimes it just doesn't, you know that you're supposed to have faith, but it just doesn't just produce just that way in that particular moment.
When one is discouraged, one needs to sing. I knew a lady back in Georgia. She said that she had a whole list of songs memorized that when she felt discouraged, she would sing one song. When she felt happy, she would sing another song. When she felt sad, she would sing another song. Music was made to serve a holy purpose, to lift the thoughts to God. And the devil has used music to do just the opposite. So when you feel discouraged, go get your hymn book if you don't have it memorized and sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Or some other song. You know.
Amen, Brother Dick. Amen, I agree.
Knowing that singing will change your attitude and bring you closer to the one you sing about. So sing Christian songs. All right. Did that help you at all?
It helped. Thank you very much.
All right. Very good. Rose, I'll pass back to you. Thank you for listening.
Praise the Lord. And there's a memory verse as well on that Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth on like a medicine, like a medicine, a merry heart. But a broken spirit dryeth the bone. A merry heart doeth on like a medicine. Well, dear ones, next week we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled The Feast at Simon's House of our storybook, Desire of Ages. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Father God, thank you for everything, for keeping us safe, and thank you for waking us up this morning in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen. Well, dear ones, we have come to the end of our study. Next Sabbath, by God's grace, August 10, 2019, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson, 284, chapter 62, entitled The Feast at Simon's House, part 3. We hope and pray that you will bless, and thank you, dear one, for having patience with me. I'm having problems with my computer, so keep it in prayer, and may you all have a blessed Sabbath.
Blessed Sabbath, Rose.
Sabbath blessing, dear Dan. I'm sorry. When I do the studies, my nerves is high to the point that I just don't want to be able to do any kind of a mishap to kind of have the family having difficulties to be able to see the screen. So I apologize. Have a blessing, everyone. If you had PME on the side or through the Lord, have a blessing. God bless you all.